Hey, this week, can I invite you to the midweek service? If you can't make it live, you can watch it online. I'm going to preach a message titled, Decaffeinated Christianity. It's a great message. I can hardly wait to preach it. And I'm going to stand up here and preach with a cup of coffee in my hand and just drink it while I'm preaching. But here's the point. Did you know decaf coffee looks like coffee, smells like coffee, tastes like coffee, but it won't wake you up, get you up, keep you up, perk you up. It won't do any of those things. And neither will Christianity that's been decaffeinated. How many know we need the Holy Spirit today? Whoa, we need the Holy Spirit power. Amen. So that's what I want to talk about today, not decaffeinated Christianity. But I want you to take your Bible, open it up. We're going to delve right into the Word of God. This is one of the most exciting portions of the entire New Testament. Luke chapter, electric slide. How many know how to do the electric slide? Some of you are lying. How many have ever either tried it or danced it at a wedding or some event? Let me see your hand. Come on. Look at all you electric sliders. All right. Should we do a little demonstration in here this morning? No, I don't think so. But that's the name of my sermon today. That's the title of my message, The Electric Slide. All right, let's get over to Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. I want you to read it with me. Would you do that? Come on, let's read. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'll tell you what, that'll get you going. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, something amazing happens. Jesus gets the 12 together. And in Luke chapter 9, after calling them together, He gives them something over all demons and to cure diseases. Notice what He says in the Bible. He called them together and He gave them what? Power and? He gave them power and? Now, you see, we don't have a problem with understanding Jesus giving the 12 power and authority. We just have a little more difficulty with us getting the power and the authority. You know why? Because for some of us, it's just too Pentecostal. For some of us, it's just too weird, too charismatic, too unbelievable. Some of us have even been taught in church that it's passed away and not available to anybody today. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants to give you and me the same power and authority that He gave the disciples. How many of you in here this morning are ready to receive it? Let me see your hand. All right, good, good. That's awesome. You see, we're not going to allow this truth to be trampled upon. If you go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, we get a little insight in what Jesus is about to do with the 70. I want you to read this with me again because I want to keep you engaged. But I want you to get this in your spirit. So here we go. Ready? After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Now hold that scripture on the screen. Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear what you just read? In other words, Jesus said, I'm sending you, and I'll be there when you get there. I'm going to tell you to go, and where you go, I'm going to meet you there. And I'm not sending you out to do this on your own. In other words, if I send you to heal the sick, I'll be there to provide the authority and the power when you challenge the sick. When you come to loose the grip of demonic hold on someone's life, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to meet you, and we're going to do it together. I don't know about you, but that gives me a little more confidence to know that this power has little to do with me and everything to do with Him. Amen? So we realize that Jesus said, I'm going to go before you and I'm going to meet you right there in that place when you confront it. But notice the first three words of this verse. Can you repeat it with me? After these things. One more time. After these things. Now, when I read that, I said, Lord, what things? Because after these things, He gave them authority and power. So I thought, now, maybe there was a precursor. Maybe there was a stipulation. Maybe there was a contractual relationship that they had to get before He gave them the power and authority. I don't know, because I read and the Holy Spirit says, after these things. So I had to begin to investigate. And when I saw that, I went back a few verses. And I want to encourage you to do that with me right now. When I say after these things, I had to understand after what things. If you look at verse 57, it tells us that as it happened, as they journeyed on the road, someone said to Him, Lord, I will follow You wherever You go. Verse 59, He said to another, follow Me. But He said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said to Him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. So I now come to chapter 10 in verse 1, and it reads, after these things. So I have to put the two together. There's a parallel. I have to understand that Jesus gives them authority. He gives them this power after He declares to them to follow Him. I'm understanding now that it's all in the follow. So I look at the Greek and I understand that in the Greek, the word follow, Jesus' command or admonition there, is actually saying this. He's telling them, your place is following after Me. Really, when He said, follow Me, He said, your place, your position, your stand is in following Me. If you'll do that, then I will give you authority and power to begin performing these mighty manifestations in the earth. So my follow is very critical to my walking in the power and in the authority that Jesus Christ has for you and me. Now, I found a quote that I thought is very interesting by Paul Harvey. Some of you remember him. It says this, we have drifted away from becoming fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I don't like cleaning aquariums. Slimy, nasty, dirty old whatever stuff is in the rocks and on them fake plants and all that stuff. I'd much rather be out on the open ocean, throw out a line and pull up a big marlin or tilapia or grouper or something like that and cook it on an open fire. My days of cleaning aquariums as a pastor are officially over. How about you? I said, how about you? Isn't it more exciting to hit the open waters and become fishers of men? You see, the church has really relegated their whole existence to just maintaining their four little glass walls and keeping the little turtle's head bouncing up and down with bubbles. Somebody just tapping a little bit of food in there every day, and we come to the top and gargle it down and go back into our little fake cave and hang out until feeding day again tomorrow or next day. You see, God has more for you and me. I want you to look at Luke 9, 1 and 2. Let's discover this for a minute. We're talking about the disciples, okay? Verse 1, He called His 12 disciples together, gave them power, gave them authority over how many demons? All demons, and to cure diseases. Now look, if He gave you authority over all demons, it is understood as well that He gave us authority over all diseases. Amen? Amen. Are there any diseases bigger than God? No. Absolutely not. Next verse, verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to do what? Heal the sick. All right, so now we don't have a problem with the apostles doing that. Our challenge comes in us receiving that same admonition. In other words, Jesus gave the disciples a license. You know what a license is? Yeah, when I fly, I have to show my driver's license. Did you know I have a license to drive? Out demons? Did you know that I have a license to preach? Well, it actually means a formal permission or authority to do something. So I have a license from an institution that has granted me formal permission to do what I'm doing this morning. So I got a license to preach. No, I didn't get it in a Cracker Jack's box. I heard that over there. I also have a license to practice medicine. Don't get nervous. I do have a doctorate. Actually, I have two of them, but it ain't that kind of doctorate. But Jesus gave me authority. He gave me a license, just like he did the disciples, to drive out demons, to preach this gospel, and to heal the sick. So I have formal permission. I have been authorized, deputized. I've been empowered by the God of heaven and earth. That's a powerful statement to begin to consider. Think about it with me for a minute, that if you and I have been given licensure to do this, then we ought to quit maintaining the aquarium and get out there and manifest the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen in here? Ooh, I tell you, how do we unlimit God's limitless power and creative ability? I believe it's all in the follow. It's just like a good tennis swing. It's in the follow through. It's just like in a baseball swing. It's in the follow through. In the golf shot. In the foul shot. Everything is in follow through. So I realize that my place is to follow Him. When I have my place in following Him, He then imparts to me licensure of authority and power to manifest these demonstrations of the kingdom of God. So look at with me Luke chapter 10 and verse 5. Now while you're turning there, people have told me that America is in revival. Well, there may be a revival in America, but I would say it's 2,000 miles wide and 1 inch deep. Here's what somebody said. Shallow walks rarely receive deep truths. A shallow walk is when somebody is following trend, fad, the world, doctrine of men, traditions of the church. When you and I are following the wrong thing, we are very shallow in our relationship with God. Thus, we are unable to receive deep truths. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 that there is a well of salvation, a deep well that you and I can draw from. That you and I can draw salvation from, soteria from, that you and I can get our supply from. Let me make an announcement. Even though we've been given power and authority to manifest the kingdom of God in the earth, you are not the source of that power. I'm so sorry to disappoint you. Because some of you get up and you're about ready to pray for somebody, so you're like, I got to work this thing. I'm about to pray in the power of God. I'm about to go out in Jesus' name. You really think that you can work it up? Okay, hit that song. Come on, get that music going. Get that music going. I'm starting to feel it. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not the source of the power and authority of God. You know what the Bible said? You and I got to concentrate on follow. I got to concentrate on follow. And I got to receive the license, formal permission by an entity of authority to transfer that authority to me so I can get in my car and go where I need to go. In other words, I understand that the entire manifestation of this kingdom is all about Him and has nothing to do with me. Now, before you debate me in your mind, of course, listen to Luke chapter 10, verse 5. Luke chapter 10 and verse 5, Jesus is giving authority to all of His 70. He's telling them to go out and manifest this power. And then this is what He said. Read it with me. Ready? But whatever house you enter, first say. Stop right there. Those two words, one more time. First say. Not second say. Not third say. First say. Okay? One more time. But whatever house you enter, what?
First say.
First say what?
Jesus.
Isn't that powerful? So Jesus is now empowering them in authority, and He's empowering them in power of God. And He's saying, when you go into a house, house is a dwelling. House is a gathering. House can be interpreted as a place of dwelling or where you reside or where people are hanging out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you go to that place, when you come to that place and it's broken, it's a broken place. Home is fractured. Mom and dad hate each other, throwing vases at one another, lying and cheating about one another, cussing and ranting and raving at one another, spitting and cussing, doing all these. When you come to that kind of a house, first say what?
Peace.
What is the word peace? Shalom. So now we're getting instruction on how to operate in this authority and power. So when I walk into a circumstance, it could be my circumstance. Let me just say this. Your circumstance and my circumstance has nothing to do with my success or your success. I've been instructed now by Jesus or the authorizing agency of licensure to when I go in to whatever house He sends me, to first say, so my first words out of my mouth is not in response to what I hear, not in response to what I see, not in response to what I feel. What is my first response to that house? Peace to this house. In other words, shalom. Or I begin to speak wholeness. I speak wholeness to that house. I speak wholeness to that marriage. I speak wholeness to that person who's in poverty. I speak wholeness to the people who are losing dignity or losing self-esteem or losing worth. I speak to them peace. I say shalom. I say wholeness to you. So that's the first thing Jesus said in verse 5. Everybody put up five fingers like that. Five, five. Luke 10, what? Verse 5. First say, peace. Very good. Now put up two hands. That's 10, and give me one. That's verse 11. Okay? So in verse 5, we find out what we're supposed to first say. Peace to this house. Now in verse 11, we don't say, we've got to know. Now here we go. Let's read it together. Ready? Read it. The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this. Stop. Now Jesus was saying, if they don't receive you, don't worry about it. Just Shake the dust off your feet and keep on trucking. I'll meet you at the next city. Right? We don't worry about it. But he said, nevertheless, what? Know this. Now, we found in verse 5 that we are to first say, or say this. Now, in verse 11, we're to know this. So now, if I'm operating in licensure, by the way, I have a license to preach. I carry it in my pocket, just in case you don't think I'm authorized. Here it is. See it right there. I have a license to preach. I'm an ordained minister. You say, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. But I just thought I'd show it to you, just in case you're wondering. So now I know that I have to say this, and now in verse 11, if I'm going to operate in this licensure, I have to know this. Okay, what do I say? What do I say? What?
Peace.
Okay, just say peace. Say what?
Peace.
So I have to say this. What do I say?
Peace.
Okay, now in verse 11, what do I know? The kingdom of God has come near you. Now, don't let me rock your little theological world, but I'm about to challenge it. Quit saying the king is coming. But he is, Jesus. He is coming again. I know he's coming in. He's returning. The king is here. The king is here. Now, here's what we've done with these truths. We three kings of Orient are. Hush, little baby. Sleep, sleep. Three shepherds watching over the flock by night. Joy to the world. We have so traditionally packaged these two powerful truths. We have come out of touch with their authority. What did the angels do on the night that Jesus was born? They made an announcement. What did they fill the heavens with? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What were they saying? Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm declaring to the world, because he was born, peace. So it's more than just a tradition of observation around the holiday, and we put peace, joy, and everything else back in the box until next year. You know what T and I did this last year? We didn't even take our tree down. We just covered it up and put it in the garage. I did. I swear, it's still decorated, man. I was looking at it the other day. I said, Tina, this is going to be great. Let's grab that tree up, pull it right through the door, set that bad boy up, take off the bag, and Merry Christmas! Woo! So in verse 5, what do we say? And verse 11, what do we know? The king is here. The kingdom of God has come near you. Why is that important? Because in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, if you can put it on the screen, we will be taken advantage of by the devil if we are ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. He wants us to package it for a Christmas pageant, put it back in the box, don't understand that my success has nothing to do with my circumstance. Come on, church. I got to get this in your brain. We got to start thinking about this. Because my success is based on Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, let me show you something that's awesome. Genesis 39, verses 1 and 2. And I don't know if you guys have that scripture, but if you can dig it out real quick and put it up for the people, that'd be great. Oh, you do got it. You have it. Did they call you? Oh, they called you. All right. Are you following me so far? You all with me? You had an extra hour of sleep. Everybody should be awake, right? Unless you stayed up an extra hour longer. I don't know. Whatever. And Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. How many know that Joseph was having a bad day? He had a coat of many colors on. Do you know what that coat meant? He was daddy's favorite. You know why he wasn't out in the fields watching the sheep? Because he didn't have to. Because dad said, you be up here with me. I like you. You stay with me. So he's walking around with a coat on, his identity, his authority, his relationship with his dad. He's strutting around. All the brothers are out there, meh, meh, watching the old stinky sheep, spending all night out in the fields. And daddy said, Joseph, go over there and see how your brothers are doing. So he comes walking in. Can you imagine? His hair's flying in the wind. His coat is just jumping and shouting, glistening in the sun. And they look at you, here comes Joseph. I hate him. So what'd they do? They sold him in to slavery. Now, have you ever been sold into slavery? No, you haven't. Some of you have seen pictures. To be sold into slavery means to be stripped of all identity and be bare naked. So Joseph loses his coat. He's betrayed, almost murdered, sold to the Ishmaelites, taken into Egypt. Potiphar shows up. He's standing up, butt naked, on a block. And they're looking at him going, yeah, I'll take him. And they buy Joseph. And what do they do after they bought Joseph? Potiphar's wife accuses him of sexual advance. Coat number two. He lost that one too. Can't seem to keep a coat on that boy. First coat gone, second coat in Potiphar's wife's hand. He's out there. Now, look what the scripture says, because I want you to see that the captain of the guard, Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Look at verse 2. Read it. Come on. Read it nice and loud. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Stop. How can you call him successful, betrayed, left for dead, sold off to the Ishmaelites, humiliated, naked, falsely accused, and imprisoned? Now, wait a minute. Either the Bible's right or it's not right. What did the Bible say? And he was a what?
Successful man.
There's this old song we used to sing at church. Long as I've got King Jesus, long as I've got King Jesus, long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. I've been lied on, cheated, beaten. Long as I've got King Jesus, long as I've got King Jesus, long as I've got, I don't need nobody else. Come on now. Why was Joseph successful? What does the Bible say? The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 11. Know this. The Lord is with you. Know this. The kingdom of God has come near you. Know this. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. Doesn't matter what the circumstances screaming. Doesn't matter what the doctor is saying. Doesn't matter what your brother is doing. Doesn't matter how much month you got left over your money. As long as you've got King Jesus. Come on, somebody. That will make you successful. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself happy. Electric slide. I didn't ask you to get the track for that song, did I? Because I didn't want the place to go crazy. I know some of you can get a dance on when you need to. But look at verse 17 of Luke 10. Are you with me so far? Anybody's stomach growling? You hungry yet? All right, just give me a couple more minutes. I'll try to get you out of here by 3. Is that okay? Before the second service. Y'all looking at me like you love me. All right, let's read it. Ready? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, here they come. They say peace, and they know he's here. So as a result from saying and knowing, they come back with great joy, and they testify and say, even the demons are subject to your name. Let me tell you, God's power is a byproduct. Everybody say byproduct. God's power is a byproduct of God's message. In other words, wherever the king is, the king's stuff comes. When the president gets in Air Force One and flies to an airport and lands and walks out of the plane, the president is there, but so is his stuff. In other words, his office is mobile. He has all of his authority. He's got his red telephone. He's got the little buttons to push. He's got all the staffing. He has everything that he had wherever he goes. He even has an ambulance that follows him in the event that it's needed. But if it's necessary, they have a physician. That everywhere the president goes, all the president's stuff is as well. Can I tell you this? Everywhere the king is, the king's stuff comes with him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I've got a good gospel announcement to make to you today. If you've got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. In other words, if you got the king, you got the king's healing. If you got the king, you got the king's joy. If you got the king, you got the king's peace. If you got the king, you got the king's prosperity. You have to stop seeking after the stuff and start seeking the king. Come on, we need to start falling in love with Jesus again. Some of us love our stuff more than we love him. We're trying to get his stuff to manifest, and we don't even care if he's around. Look, you got to get it reprioritized, because supernatural results are simply gracelets. Here's a term for you. Stop working it up. You know, we got to have a little gospel revolution here. Telling everybody, well, you got to do this if you want God to answer your prayer. You got to pray 4 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers. Check that. 6 Hail Marys, 3 Our Fathers. Check that. You got to have confession and communion too. I mean, we want people to work. Work for God to answer. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Be naturally supernatural. What does that mean? Walmart, here I come. I naturally walk into Walmart. I'm looking for duct tape. And on my way to the duct tape aisle, I act supernaturally. It's an easy thing. It's a sweatless victory. I know I just speak peace. And I announce the King is here. I'm just the herald. I'm just the one that announces His coming. What this region needs are people who will commit to be mouthpieces for God and to speak shalom instead of repeating all the bad news. The devil's been talking so long, we've been echoing everything he's saying. Well, you know, Cleveland, it's the evangelist graveyard, and no good thing can come out of Cleveland. You know what my response is to you? Shalom! In other words, I speak wholeness over this city. Now, you got to know, Cleveland is one of the most racially divided cities in all of America. What do I say? Wholeness. I speak oneness. I speak peace. I speak shalom. You say, well, you know, the economy, we'd be able to do it if we had a little more money. Yeah, well, you know, times are rough. Since the downfall of 2007 and 8, everybody's been suffering. No. I'm not going to repeat what the devil's been preaching. I got a license to preach. In other words, I didn't get licensed by the devil. I got licensed by the King. And I've only got one message to preach. And that is shalom. Why? Because the King is here. Amen. Y'all look like you're starting to get a little happy too. All right, let me break this down. All right. Did you download the electric slide yet? Just kidding. Half hardly kidding. Look at verse 18. Here it comes. You know who is going to dance the electric slide this morning? The devil. You know why? Because I'm creating an electric storm with what I say and with what I know. I am causing an electric storm in the heavenlies. And here's what Jesus said. Come on, read it aloud with me. Ready? And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, why did Jesus use that metaphor, lightning? Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Per second. 186,000 miles. 186,000 miles. 186,000 miles. That's a lot of miles. Jesus said, I saw Satan do the electric slide. I so want to break out in that dance, but I can't do it. I saw the devil break out in the electric slide when you went and said peace and knew that I was there. I saw it. And he used that metaphor because he said, one second the devil's in your marriage, the next second he's out of that marriage. One second he's in your children, the next second he's out of your children. One second he's in a region. Come on. The next second he's out of this region. One second he's in your money, the next second he's out of your money. Woo. Come on now. The King is here. Hallelujah. The King is here. I'm here to remind you that your King is here and that His peace has been given. Why? Because He wants us to prepare the way. Isaiah 40, the prophet, look at it. It's beautiful. Verse 3, he said, I prepare the way. a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then he says this, verse 4 and verse 5. Come on, put it up the next verse. He said, every valley, once you'll see a valley, the next second it'll be exalted. You'll see a mountain, and the next second it'll be brought low. You'll see a crooked place, and in the next second it'll be made straight. Come on, there's more. You'll see a rough place, and in the next second you're going to see it smooth as a baby's cheek. Come on. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. This is our day and our time. Behold, I give you authority. Verse 5. Thank you. You get a free book. Verse 5.
Peace.
Verse 11.
No.
King is here. All right, let's try that one more time. You're getting better though. Verse 5.
Peace.
Verse 11.
No.
We're still a little confused. Verse 11, the king is here. Verse 5.
Peace.
Peace. Okay, ready? All right. Verse 11. Verse 5.
Peace.
Amen. That's all you got to do.
Well, don't I have to pray and fast and quote scriptures and dance and all those things?
No. Just verse 5 and verse 11. Just speak peace and know the king is here. We're just his herald. I understand something now about Romans 8:28. All things. Come on, say it with me. All things work together. Come on, tell me what it says. Really? Okay, can we try that one more time? Ready? All things work
together.
Very good. Awesome. You see, that's what we can look forward to in the coming weeks as we close out this year. I've got such great faith for your success. I prayed with some folks up here this morning who are challenged in their family. I got great faith for the success of your family. I prayed with a young man up here this morning. I've got great faith for your strength, because God is with you. God is here. Declare peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. This is a great day for us to be alive. You and I have got to turn our back on the devil's conversation and watch him do the electric slide. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I want to make a proclamation in every aspect of my life. Right now, where you're sitting, there are some things that you need to speak peace to. You need to declare shalom to your marriage, if that's your situation. Shalom to your money. Shalom to your children. Peace to your business. Peace to relationships. Peace to turmoil in your city. Peace to every circumstance out of alignment to God's word. And then you need to begin to declare to those things, the king is here. 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 Maybe some of you need to go home after church and walk in your house. And you need to look at that rebellious, snotty-nosed teenager and say, hey, the king is here. Maybe you need to go home and go to that place of business tomorrow. You need to look at that person that's been giving you that trouble and been resisting you and been lying about you and just say, peace! Jesus' name. Maybe you need to go into the bathroom, close that door this afternoon, just get alone between you and God. Look in that mirror, look down deep into the soul of your own eyes. And every time the devil's been lying to you, saying you're not worth it, you're a piece of trash, you're a mess, you're not worthy, then you need to look at yourself in the face and you need to say, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I've been listening to them long enough. I refuse to be defined by my circumstance and what others are doing to me, saying about me, or the way they're treating me. If Joseph was a successful man because God was with him, then I'm a successful man. I'm a successful woman, regardless of what you think, what you've done, how you believe I should live. It doesn't matter, because you know what? God is with me. So I want to pray over you today. You say, Pastor, I need to begin making that declaration over my life. Well, the first declaration, sir, ma'am, is that Jesus be the Lord of your life. If you're here today and you were to die and you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell, you don't know where you'd spend eternity, don't you dare leave this room without surrendering your life to Christ. Maybe you're here today and you served God at one time, but circumstance ripped Jesus out of your life. You still love him. You still know him. You still believe in him. But your situation has been so brutal. You feel like Joseph. You've been betrayed. You've been lied on. You've been abused. You've been sold. But today you've heard another word. You've heard God say, I'm with you. That's you today. And say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to get my life right with God. All you got to do is hold your hand up high enough for me to see it. I'm going to count to three and I want you to do it, please. Let's make the devil do the electric slide this morning. Let's fill the atmosphere with an electrical storm of God's power through his word. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up, hold it up, hold it up, hold it up. Hands are up, hands are up, hands are up. Come on, don't wait. Hold it up. Now, if you held it up, I want you to stand up quickly. Come on, get up on your feet. Altar ministers, come join me around the front of this altar. Everybody get up on your feet. Everybody. Everybody get up on your feet. Now please, if you raise your hand and you stood up, I want you to walk through that aisle and meet somebody at this altar and take a stand for God. Would you do that right now? Come on, church. Encourage them. Come on. Encourage them. Come on, church. Encourage them. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, come on, Clint. Hallelujah. Come on, right there, come on. Hallelujah, come on. Come on, come on. Anybody else? Come on. God bless you, man. Come on down here. God bless you. Come on down here. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look, here's what I want you to do. I want you, with sensitivity and kindness, to turn to somebody in just a minute and simply tell them, stop dancing with the devil. It's time to let him slide and you come on to Jesus. If they need that prayer, take them by the hand. Come on, ask somebody. Ask somebody, do you need that prayer? I'll take you. I'll go with you. I'll pray with you. Come on, bring him down to the altar and let's believe God for a transformation to take place in their lives. Amen. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Do you need someone to pray with you? Are you good? You're good? Okay. Anybody else? All right. All right. Come on. All right. Amen. Would you do me a favor? Reach a hand out to these in prayer. You know, a hand raised out to the Hebrew was an expression of faith. So let's have an expression of faith over these that are coming to Christ. Father, bless them. Let their hearts never be the same. Heal them. Renew them. Restore them. Give them life. We rebuke the enemy. We know that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But this is the last day of destruction. This is the first day of construction, where you make all things new again. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Now do me a favor. If you'd cross the aisle and just help me take somebody by the hand, and I want you to pray for somebody this morning that they'll leave this room knowing this and saying this. Come on, cross the aisle, grab somebody by the hand. Pray for the person on your right. Pray for the person on your left, that they'll say peace and that they'll know that the King is here. Father, we pray for this church. We pray for one another. We pray for families. We pray for a sin-sick region. God, we need a revival. God, we need an outbreak of Holy Ghost power. God, we want to see signs and wonders follow those that believe. Do it now, Father, for your kingdom's sake. Bless my brother and bless my sister. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm going to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. But before I go, I want to remind you, if you're visiting, join us on that little room there on the right. We want to give you a free copy of this book, hardback, great book. It'll help you as a gift. Also, I just got to worship. I don't know about you, but I've just got to give God praise. So those of you that want to, why don't you join me in this worship team? Let's lift up our hands and give God thanks. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. We'll see you on Wednesday night.